Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Let's look at this. Let's go back to verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, there's two parts at play right here. Number one, we're delivered from his power. And we need to know this, not just his authority, but anything dealing with him. Darkness covers everything, just like light covers everything with God. God is light. And in him is what? No darkness whatsoever. None. Well, now we're in the light as he is in the light, which means there should be no darkness of any kind in our life. And any kind of darkness that you have, anything of the devil is going to be in that word darkness. That includes poverty, sickness and disease. How about this? Depression. You ever know some people are depressed? They don't want to go out into the sunlight and smile. They want to draw the windows and pull the covers over their head. How about this also? Fear and anxiety. Also darkness. Darkness. And we've been delivered from the power of darkness. Isn't that wonderful to know? Well, then also there's this that goes with it. And we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. I like what one translation says, the kingdom of the Son of his love. Well, why is that so important? Because in that kingdom, we get the same treatment. In that kingdom, we're treated exactly as Jesus is treated. Everything he got from his daddy, he turned around and gave to us. I remember one time after deciding to live by faith, I'd been only going a couple months and just was so thrilled to be a believer. And I got stuck one morning reading. I woke up early to take the boy to school. And I was just praising God. I said, God, what's going on? I hadn't caught on yet that when you have marvelous fellowship at night, just because you wake up the next morning doesn't mean it's going to be all hunky-dory. There's going to be a devil trying to fight you in the morning. I said, God, what's going on here? And he said, it's a righteousness issue, meaning I wasn't aware of it. I wasn't aware of my righteousness. I said, but Lord, I know about righteousness. And I think about, you know what? I don't think I know what I think I know about righteousness. But kind of like Princess Bride, I keep using that word. I do not think it means what I think it means. I don't think it means what I think it means. I said, so Lord, I don't know much about righteousness. And I'm going to need you to teach me about it. And so what did I do? I went and got my books and my word went and found, like, okay, you'll start from scratch. What's righteousness? And I was like, wow, I don't know much about righteousness at all. I had a lot of facts. I could give you E equals MC squared for righteousness, but I didn't know how to apply it, So I went to the Lord about it. And as I was just fellowshipping with him on it and meditating about it, I had a glimpse that fast of exactly how Jesus feels in heaven. He has absolutely no self-consciousness whatsoever. Couldn't care less about himself. Has no consciousness of anything but perfect relationship and best friendship with his Father. And it was over that fast. I said, you gave that to us? You gave your relationship with him to us? And I said, you're the most generous person I've ever seen in the entire universe. You would give that to us. Now, I heard these words in my heart. Once you've enjoyed it, all you want to do is give it away. Yes. And that just changed my life forever. Well, I didn't know that day all I know now about righteousness, but we get now because we are in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29 and 30. Now because of him, we are in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be in? Just take it. Just go with it. Don't even try to question it. I just decide. I believe that I'm in him and he's in me. It's a blood covenant term. What it really means, it came from this, that when two parties were in blood covenant, then they both put a huge gash from the palm of their hand down into their wrist and shed blood, and then they'd be tied together and bound, showing that I'm bound to you by choice forever, and you're bound to me by choice forever. And then their blood would mingle. Now that person's blood was in them, and their blood was in the other person. So we are in blood covenant. We are in him, and he's in us. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? So now in him, his daddy treats me like I did all that. His daddy treats you like you never had a past. His daddy treats you like he treats Jesus. He gave us the same relationship with his Father that he has. Aren't you glad you didn't get the Walmart relationship? You know, the great value relationship. I'm glad I got the Jesus original relationship. Isn't that wonderful? Well, let's take that thought and let's go over through some scriptures real quick. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just make a note of it in your notes. We're not going to flip. Take some time. Let's lean this down a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. You know this verse. For he who knew no sin, he hath made to be sin. That we might just put a note, just make a note of it so you can go back and put it before your eyes. These sermons, when you go back and listen to them, when you're hearing them now, they're feeding you. But when you go back and listen to them and you have the scriptures and the points that you've made, they're guided meditations. You can take them and just stop and think about it out loud and say it out loud. Take as much time as you want with it. This should feed you all week. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he who knew no sin, he hath made to be sin for us. Oh, hallelujah. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now let's find out more about what that means. Just as a review, go over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God. That was his decision. And it was imputed to him for righteousness. That was God's response to his faith. And this is the result. And he was called the friend of God. Ephesians chapter 1, make a note of that in your notes, says that we've been chosen in him and accepted in the beloved. Well, the word, and we just, from the scripture passage we just quoted in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you go down from verse 17, he uses the word reconciliation in various forms several times. It means this in a nutshell, if you're taking it from a blood covenant context, to embrace someone as your very best friend. To embrace an enemy as now your closest friend. That is the height of reconciliation. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. Now Jesus, according to Hebrews 2, is not ashamed to call us brother. So when we are made the righteousness of God, we are accepted as God's very best friends. Isn't that powerful? Let that sink in. I have best friendship with God. I have Jesus' relationship with my Heavenly Father. Well, I thought it was to be fathers and sons. To be fathers and sons so that we could be best friends. Remember what Jesus said in John 5? He said this. He said, I'm going to paraphrase into the Duke version, but he said, the Father himself loves the Son. Which means, I heard this as I was reading that one day. Just out of the blue, he just dropped this on me. He said, the Father and the Son are in league together as brothers. I couldn't handle it. I just wept for joy and cried for joy at the same time. I said, we get to do this together. And he reminded me of 2 Corinthians 6, right after he told us that we're his righteousness. We're laborers together with him. We're in this family business together with him. Well, let's go over to Ephesians 2. We do need to look at this. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world. Didn't we all do that? Oh, Jesus. According to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we also had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Man, a desire would hit you in the mind and you'd be doing it before you even thought about it and thought it was okay. Hallelujah. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in blood covenant love. Isn't that wonderful? For his great love wherewith he loved us. I like that, if he loved us once. I asked him once about that, but Dad, don't you love us now? And he said this, if I loved you once, I love you now. Whew. Made my day, man. That should be happy for you, because you get the same thing. He loved you once, he loves you now. He's not going to change on you. Once he fixed his love to you, he loves you permanently. He doesn't need to tell you, I love you. Every day, he'll wake you up every day and tell you he loves you if you need it. But also, he wrote it down in his word so you wouldn't forget. We can know, Daddy, I know you love me. Isn't that what Jesus said at Lazarus' tomb? Father, I thank you. You always hear me. Of course you do. We're in blood covenant. You love me. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And thank you, Lord. We got to put something in here. Take what we just learned or reviewed about in Colossians chapter 1. By God treating you as he treats Jesus, are you saved? That's the grace in action. He's treating me. He earned it. I just get to give it and enjoy it as a gift. But I get treated like he treats him. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now you need to know this about the right hand we just read about. The right hand, Paul's using a descriptor, but also he remember like Stephen said, I behold the Son of God standing on the right hand of the throne. Why is that right hand so important? That is where God or any king or potentate puts his closest friend, his most trusted associate. It is the spot of honor. Now, when God says through Jesus that the Holy Ghost is going to come and he's going to abide in you forever, that word abide means to be given the seat of honor in someone's life, which means if you let me abide in you, you'll abide in me. I welcome him to sit down in the seat of honor in my life. Guess what I'm going to begin to enjoy? The seat of honor he's always wanted me to have in his life. You are the most important person in God's heart. He has no care or thought for himself other than you helping him with his plan for others. All he says to you to do is, isn't this wonderful? Yeah, Daddy, this is wonderful. Now help me take this to others because I love them too and they don't know it yet. That's his heart. That's the whole plan. The right hand is where the king puts his most trusted and embraced friend. I like to call it this, just from my own thinking. You can call it what you want, but I call it this. It's the best friend spot. And we didn't just get a best friend spot. We got Jesus' best friend spot. And I could end it right there and I'd be so happy and want to shout. We got to keep going. But it's not only where we enjoy best friend fellowship, which is where we enjoy brotherhood with God. This is the good place. This is the goody room, whatever you want to call it. This is where we enjoy good fellowship. And this will put faith in your heart and thank you, not just faith, but conviction that when you go to pray, oh, I'm not just going through the motions of some prayer ritual. I'm enjoying time with my very best friend. And he's enjoying time with me. What if I don't feel anything? That's why we do it. By faith. I'm trusting that he's enjoying it. And I'm deciding that I enjoy it by faith. You never have to walk by feelings and pray. Man, this will set you free from ever being anchored down by your feelings and your fellowship time with God ever again. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.